Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
BetQL Network presents your favorite handicapper's favorite handicapper, Ken Barkley.
If I have an opinion, I'm just going to go put money on that thing happening.
And your host, Nick Kostos.
Every single play of every single game impacts you in some way, shape, or form.
It's You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM.
The terrific Tuesday edition of You Better You Bet rolls on. Nick Kostos, Ken Barkley, and you here with us on the BetQL Network. Really awesome second hour of the show. Danny Green on the NBA, Rob Pozzola on the NHL playoffs, and Herman Edwards joining us to end the second hour of the show, giving us a couple really interesting notes there. He thinks Jaden Daniels is going to Washington. Talked to Jaden Daniels yesterday on the phone. Really, like, agonizing in my own head. Like, how far do I want to press this?
Sure.
I really appreciate the coach comes on the show.
We'd
and didn't
like
want to alienate
know.
Him. Yeah, we'd all like... yeah, so I don't think he would tell us. I think at some point he'd probably be like, leave me alone, guys. Like, Jaden's my guy. I'm not going to ruin this guy's, like, draft experience for you. So appreciate Herm coming on the show. And to be fair, he did tell us, like, yeah, kind of think he's going to Washington. Also, he's a massive favorite. It seems like that's where things are leaning right now. Also, yeah, like, obviously, it's like, yeah, you idiots. Of course, Antonio Pierce and the Raiders want Jaden Daniels.
Right.
Duh.
Well, they want to trade for Jaden. I mean, they're trying to trade for Jaden. It's like, well, yeah. And when you put it that way, yes, they probably are trying to do that.
And based on the way he said that, it kind of sounded like they only want Jaden if they're going to trade up, which to
yes.
me makes it sound like they're not going to trade up to three with the Patriots, assuming that Jaden Daniels is the second pick with the Washington Commanders. So as we approach Thursday, maybe starting to get like a little bit of clarity. And I want to emphasize the word a little bit of clarity on how things might go early on Thursday night. We'll get back to the NBA playoffs, back to the Stanley Cup playoffs coming up in 20 minutes. But joining us right now to maybe help give us some more clarity as to what we'll see on Thursday night, it's been a while since we've had him on the show. And when we last had him on the show, he was kind of like teasing that he had like a big announcement to make with his life and his career that was coming up in a little bit. That announcement has come and gone, and we are pleased to welcome back to You Better You Bet now, newly minted member of our friends over at Establish the Run, and we have a lot of people from ETR on the show, notably Evan Silva and Mike Gallagher. And now we can say from Establish the Run, our good friend John Daigle joins us here on You Better You Bet. John on Twitter at NotJDaigle. John, congratulations on the move to ETR, my friend. Happy draft week to you and yours. It's Nick and Ken, You Better You Bet. How's it going?
I appreciate the sentiment, and like y'all, I'm just ready to get this done and dusted, because the quarterback talk, number two, number three, it's now just causing me to have a headache, because I know you're asking for clarity, but it just doesn't seem like anyone knows. Everyone is solely citing what they're hearing behind the scenes, and that the rest of the league thinks it's going to be Jaden Daniels. But just like both CJ Stroud and Anthony Richardson last year, it doesn't matter what the rest of the league thinks. It literally just matters what these two and three are trying to maneuver right now. So just looking forward to seeing that number two pick finally be announced on Thursday.
Yeah, so, and John, you kind of alluded to it, right? Like, there's this kind of like consensus, like, it's not, it's kind of behind the scenes, but it's kind of like insiders and guys go on podcasts and say stuff. And all of that has been baked into this really clean consensus top 10 where like everyone kind of thinks the same stuff is going to happen. Like Daniels, May, Harrison, Chargers trade out, Vikings take McCarthy. Like you could go down to almost number 10, Titans take a lineman. Like you go down to number 10 and it's like everyone thinks the same thing. And Nick and I spent a ton of time yesterday trying to figure out, how likely is it that that's actually what's going to happen? We don't think it's likely at all. We think nobody knows anything. How? Where are you on the confidence level that what everyone thinks is going to happen in the first 10 picks is actually what's going to happen?
I would say I'm confident in the players, but the issue is with mock drafts, you screw up one domino and the rest of them fall entirely different. So much so that teams and organizations can just change their position altogether as well if they have someone at cornerback or whatever locked in higher. And that's my concern, is that if I get one thing wrong here in the top 10, the next 5 to 8 picks are going to be completely wrong as well, which is why I've been trying to hone it down. For me personally, I don't know about y'all, but the most important question I'm trying to figure out is, how do the Giants have their quarterbacks shaken out on their big board? Because if they don't care about J.J. McCarthy, we have no idea. But if they don't, then regardless of what happens at 2 or 3, then we kind of think the Cardinals may stay in place rather than trade back with the Giants if they have a J.J. McCarthy who may slip to number 4 overall on their board. That's the one they're targeting. Otherwise, the Vikings-Cardinals trade that everyone is proposing, it still doesn't really make sense to me. There would still have to be so much maneuvering happening with Arizona since they do prioritize. We think they're prioritizing Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr., maybe even in that order. But you can't trade back to 11 and have that happen. So to me, it just seems like I need to know what the Giants are thinking at quarterback. Is it a smokescreen, or are they really just putting that out because they want Malik Nabers? That's the most important question.
Yeah, do you so you kind of like worked yourself into an answer there of the question that I was going to ask. I'm going to ask it anyway, because you're saying like you want to find out like what the Giants are playing, which quarterback they like. The intimation there is that the Giants are going to trade up for a quarterback. Now, you also mentioned Minnesota. Now, there's no question that the Vikings want to trade up for a quarterback. They've telegraphed that with the moves that they've made. So whether they do it or not is kind of immaterial. We know that they want to do it. Like, that is Minnesota's intention, is to make a trade for a quarterback. It's why they acquired an extra free. It would be insane like to not take one and just pick at 11 and 23. It sounds, though, John, like you think the Giants are more likely to try and trade up for a quarterback than they are to stand pat at number 6 and take McCarthy if he falls, if they like J.J. McCarthy, or maybe Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison or whoever falls at number 6. What is your best guess right now as to what the New York Football Giants are looking to do on Thursday night?
Take Malik Nabers would be my guess absolutely right now. I know I've seen some people throw out Romo Dunes. I'm not buying it given how the Giants have prioritized the receivers. We've known under Brian Daboll, they've been looking for more receivers who catch the ball over the middle of the field, turn up field, get those yards after the catch. That's much more Malik Nabers than Romo Dunes, who's also obviously an amazing player. I just think Nabers fits the Giants' style. And to me, again, it goes back to McCarthy in particular, not Jaden Daniels or Drake May, because I believe the Giants like them. I believe they've done work on those two guys. But again, it doesn't matter if May goes second and Daniels goes third. That's a shakeup. What happens then if McCarthy's at 4? Will the Giants trade, or do they not care about J.J. McCarthy? That's why it's the one name I need to know how the Giants are factoring in, because otherwise, I think they do just simply stay put and take one of Marvin Harrison Jr. or Nabers, whomever's there.
I do think that's really interesting with 4 and 6, John. I just want to point out, like, there's also a ton of rumors about the Chargers trading, John, right? So you mentioned the Cardinals trade. Doesn't make a lot of sense to you. Maybe they just stay and take Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers, and I totally understand what you're saying, where maybe some teams prioritize one, some teams prioritize the other in terms of the wide receivers. The Chargers at 5, and I feel like we've gone through like 10 different cycles of what this is going to be, where it's like, well, the Chargers are like, they're going to take Joe Alt. They're like going to take an offensive, like that's what's going to, it's Harbaugh, running game, all this stuff. Nah, actually, they don't really have a lot of wide receivers. No, actually, they're going to trade. That's for sure what they're going to do. Like you mentioned, 4. Nah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. What are the Giants going to do right after the Chargers? What's your best guess for what the Chargers are going to do at 5 right now?
The Chargers and Titans are, in my opinion, just battling one another for a offensive tackle. Having said that, both can screw this up and go wide receiver. Odunes didn't play slot much at all in college, and Brian Callahan came out specifically and mentioned the team is in need of a slot receiver. I don't think he wants to play Treylon Burks there. He obviously wasn't part of the regime that drafted Burks to begin with. And that's not Odunes. So that's why I think either way, the Titans will stay put at seven and draft the best offensive tackle. The issue is, to answer your question, the Chargers, and I'm sure people have said this on your show before, Joe Alt makes sense in Tennessee in place of Andre Dillard, whereas Alt doesn't really fit in Los Angeles, where Rashawn Slater is locking down that position already. J.C. Latham, in fact, who's been called a dark horse top 10 pick, makes much more sense in Los Angeles. So I added, just in the last 48 hours, added some Latham first tackle off the board, just in case he makes the more sense there to John Harbaugh than Alt does. Also, again, the Titans can screw this up and still take a wide receiver, you know, underneath our very own noses. So right now, I believe the Chargers would take either trade back and take a tackle, or if Marvin Harrison Jr. happens to fall there because the Giants trade up for a quarterback, I believe they take Marvin Harrison Jr. over Joe Alt. Those are the two scenarios I'm at right now with LA.
You better here with Nick and Ken on a Tuesday, talking the NFL draft with our friend John Daigle, now a member of Establish the Run on Twitter at NotJDaigle. John, I have the mock draft that you dropped late last week over at Establish the Run, and I said this before, like, I subscribe to TTR's NFL content. People can check it out. So I have your mock draft open here. I won't spoil kind of like what you think's going to happen with Atlanta's pick, but it does feel like across all mock drafts, there's a consensus, right, that it's going to be either Dallas Turner or like a defensive player. What do you think we see with the 8th overall pick with the Atlanta Falcons on the clock on Thursday night?
I didn't write this in that mock draft either, but I still think Dallas Turner over 9.5 is one of my favorite bets of the entire draft. I'm not even sure Turner is the top edge on the Falcons board, let alone the top defensive player. It's what everyone is assuming, but to me, it's a very similar situation to Nolan Smith last year, where everyone agreed he's a top 10 player, a very explosive edge. But it doesn't matter if he misses out on the one team like the Eagles who could draft him, and then everyone else behind them just doesn't have that as a need. And I think that's kind of what's happening with Dallas Turner, is that the Falcons, in my opinion, are probably more locked in on either Lyle Tulatu or Byron Murphy. And those are my leans right now at number 8 overall. And if that's the case, then Turner could do that Nolan Smith slide all the way down to the late first round. I think that's what's going to happen too. So in my opinion, Turner's not going at number 8. We can still bet the over there. And I'm pinpointing Byron Murphy to them in particular. But again, if it was Latu, because he's the top edge on their board, that would not surprise me either.
John, there's another, you mentioned Dallas Turner and like the group think around, well, he's just going to go in that spot. It feels like that's happened, not to the same degree, but a lot, with like the Jets and Brock Bowers at 10. Like, I, you know, have like a lot of the draft programming on, especially like the really, really popular kind of mock drafters that have shows on the networks. That's all that the Jets take at 10. Like, there's no other options almost. And it's weird, right? Because like, he's a tight end. They still need depth on offensive line. They could take a number of other players. They could trade. They could do a lot of things. Do you feel like the same thing there, where like, hey, everybody thinks Atlanta's doing this? We don't really have any idea. I kind of get the same sense with the Jets at 10. What's your best guess with them, let's say, in about a minute?
And I do buy into the idea that the Jets are trying to trade up, perhaps to number 8 for Romo Dunes. I think ultimately they stay put and they go, to your point, either Brock Bowers or Troy Fatanu out of Washington, who NFL teams are just going to move inside, despite the fact he played tackle for Michael Penix just last year. Jets, yes, address their offensive line and free agency on paper, but we've seen most recent years, the Bengals and the Bills, it just doesn't matter. Like, those guys were available to replace your offensive line on paper for a reason. And just the shakeup the Jets had, they still clearly need help on the interior. So I think Fatanu makes a lot of sense there. Ultimately, though, like Cyrus O'Torrence last year, who the Bills got on day 2, I pay attention to medical flags this last week. The news cycles don't really care about. Medicals I do care about. And that's why O'Torrence, arguably the league's best interior player in the draft last year, dropped to day 2. Fatanu's not going to drop to day 2, but we are hearing bad things about his medicals right now. I wonder if it's enough to push him to the mid-late first round and thus forcing the Jets to stay put and take Brock Bowers. That's my lean at what New York's doing right now. But it's down to those two players, Bowers and Fatanu.
John, let's close with this in about 30 seconds. Any player, any bet that you like coming up for the draft that we have not yet discussed in this interview that you like for our listeners and viewers?
AD Mitchell over his number currently right now, just because we've heard about the red flags, the character concerns. Also, the more these other guys get hyped up, like Xavier Worthy, who I still think is a locked-in first-round player. Brian Thomas also popped up with negative medicals. But again, their team's so high on him with first-round grades, I don't think he slips out. I think Ladd McConkey could slip ahead of AD Mitchell as well. So Mitchell over, to me, seems like one I'm much more interested in taking here down the home stretch.
Xavier Worthy, you don't run 4-2 at the combine and like not go in the first round. I agree with you on Xavier Worthy. Let's close 15 seconds here to close, John. Michael Penix Jr. going in the first round?
No, unless the Raiders trade back in. But I think their first pick is far too rich to sneak him in this first round. And also, the Vikings have those two first-round picks. If they've just been trying to blow smoke around J.J. McCarthy, we could be looking at Bo Nix in the late 20s for them instead. So that's the only way, in my opinion, one of Nix or Penix sneak into the first round on Thursday.
Now, for real, last one, 10 seconds to go. As of right now, the number one receiver off the board in season-long drafts would be who and why in 10 seconds?
Marvin Harrison Jr., I still believe he's going to be the very first pick, number four overall, from Kyler Murray and a very progressive offense that Drew Petsick runs in Arizona.
But non-rookie, who's the first receiver off the board in season-long drafts?
CeeDee Lamb, because for whatever reason, it took until Lamb's fourth year for the Cowboys to move him around to both the slot and perimeter over the second half of the season, which is why it exploded. CeeDee Lamb's the number one wide receiver in fantasy.
I can't wait to get Justin Jefferson with like the 10th pick in the first round this year because people are scared off by J.J. McCarthy or whatever. John, you're awesome. We appreciate it. Please check out John's work over at Establish the Run. A lot of cool stuff coming from ETR and John at NotJDaigle on Twitter, establishtherun.com. My friends, stay well. Enjoy the draft. Good luck with the bets. We'll talk to you soon.
Good luck, boys.
Coming up next, Ken Barkley and yours truly. Yeah, guess what we're going to do? We're going to talk the NFL draft. We just spent 40 minutes doing it with guests. Of course we're going to do it coming up on the other side.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, a lot of interesting stuff from John Daigle and Herman Edwards back-to-back. given us thoughts on the 2024 NFL draft. We'll get back to the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, all our bets for tonight coming up next hour, the final hour, the power hour on the show. Ken, a lot of information thrown our way by Herm and John. What stood out to you the most? Where do you want to start here talking NFL draft?
Do we feel like we have any more clarity than we had yesterday? The point of yesterday's show was I felt like we had very little clarity. I felt like everyone was hearing the same things, reporting the same things, mocking the same things, and none of them, they all seemed a lot more like Jalen Carter 5 last year, which ended up not being true, than they felt like CJ Stroud 2 at the death, like right before the draft. That was the point of yesterday's show. I didn't feel like we had a lot that was any good, honestly. And look, like, put yourself in the position of the mock drafters, and the NFL draft content and NFL draft betting content is just exploding the last couple of years because the amount of interest in betting this stuff. You can't, if you produce that content, you can't just show up and be like, actually, nobody knows, see you next year. Like, you gotta, you know, you gotta put a happy face on this. You gotta pretend like it's awesome, and here's what it is, and oh man, it could be this, and oh man, it could be this. And I feel like we had bad guesses, and my guesses are even worse. Do we feel like between yesterday's show and this show, that changed? And I guess the only place where I would say that is true is just like at some point, how many people who don't bet have to come on and tell us that Daniels is going to go second overall?
Like, and not just people tell us that? Like, yes. Not just people. The Commanders coach last year.
Yes.
Daniels' coach at LSU didn't come on the show, but Brian Kelly has said publicly that, they're taking Jaden Daniels. So we have Jaden Daniels' coach at Arizona State, who talked to him yesterday, said he thinks Washington's taking him. Jaden Daniels' coach last year at LSU said that he thinks Washington's taking them. And Washington's coach last year, Ron Rivera, also said that he thinks Washington's taking Jaden Daniels.
Right. And, you know, again, it's not like there's some huge amount of money to
Adam
be made on
Peters
this
Adam Peters is Lex Luthor if he's like, he's a supervillain if he's lying to all these people and pulling this
right
off.
And just, and the ticking clock a factor here. It's Tuesday early evening now. Like, it's, you know, if we get to tomorrow night and it's just all the same stuff, what's the likelihood Thursday we get a huge curveball? It starts to go down a little bit. You know, to be fair, Mac Jones to Trey Lance happened overnight Wednesday night to Thursday. Something can change, something can happen. But that would definitely be something where, you know, it just is the wind entirely blowing toward Jaden Daniels at 2. Now, I understand, like, that's not a crazy betting opinion. He's the favorite. But look, like, he was the favorite and then he wasn't. And then it was -110 each way. And then he was again. So it's not like this has been some rock solid betting market the entire time. I would just say, like, speak personally, like, I'm more confident that Jaden Daniels is going to go second than I was yesterday. And the price is the same yesterday as it was today. And now I'm more confident. So that's one thing. And then the other part of that, because these are, I think Whale said this yesterday, highly correlated bets. I think he said this, and it doesn't matter who said it because it's like everybody thinks this. If Daniels is going second, and based on everything we heard from people yesterday about how much everybody loves Drake May, everybody loves the Drake, then he's going third, and it's kind of like to who at that point.
Yep.
And that's also, and again, like I just had a friend message me, like, hey, listening to the show, and I shared kind of this exact thing we're doing on the show, and I go, what is Caleb Daniels May, which is the most likely 1-2-3 by far, and it's going to be the favorite in the market, it's just how big a favorite, and that's out to, like, -350 in most places.
Oh, it is, because saw -165, like, literally, like, 3 hours ago, I was looking before the show, and it was, like, -165.
Sometimes draft betting is based on off-market versus stuff that's moving. And I guess, would you say our advice is if it's still -165, it's more likely to happen than that? Not it's going to happen, but just it's more likely. I feel like it's more likely than that. And that doesn't tie the player to the team, which I think you'll want to talk about with May. Like, he can go third and you don't have to know who it is to know that he's going third to win the bet. And that's going to get really interesting with a lot of this stuff. Like, if we start talking about receivers later too and who takes who, okay, but like with what pick? And you can take this in whatever direction you want. Just like, yeah, like, I feel like we're getting closer to clarity on 2 that matches the market, and the market doesn't have to be right this early on this stuff, but I do feel like we're getting confidence that that's the case. And if 2 is this, you play the game where, okay, then 3 is what? And it just, it does feel like we're headed toward Caleb Daniels May, which isn't a grand moneymaker, I think, for a lot of people. Like, people want the 20-1, and we may just not get that. That may just, 1-2-3 may be very settled, and then crazy starts at 4. Maybe that's what ends up happening.
Well, I want to answer your question with a question. Yesterday's show and today's show everything we've heard, all the things that have been reported recently, how good do you feel now that J.J. McCarthy will not be one of the first three names called on Thursday night?
Pretty confident. But not like, I wouldn't say highly confident just because somebody can trade in, right? You never know how a team values a player. And I mean, we've seen this before, teams that want to overpay to make sure they get their quarterback.
Getting a little hung up with your question, right? About like the exact, right. Like the 1-2-3.
It's like, it's not 100%, though. Yeah. Like, yeah, is it, correct. All we're saying is the likelihood of it happening, does it seem like it's more than what -165 implies right now?
I think
by a little bit. Yeah, by a little bit, yes. Right?
I agree.
That may not be the price in most places now, because like, I got people texting me that it's like getting blasted. And I think the idea of it getting blasted is like, if you feel more confident as Daniels, then that exacta becomes a bet on Drake May to go third. And now those two markets need to be priced the same, because like that's the same bet if you think Daniels is going second. And if they're not priced the same, then one's wrong. So just
-300 now. So at BetMGM, like right before we went on the air, and I know because I was looking like in advance of the show, like preparing stuff, -165, now -300 at BetMGM for the exacta. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, 1, 2, and 3. So the 165s are gone.
This is my fault. I need to have the BetMGM draft markets up, which I had yesterday, and
I have them.
So I'm.
So you okay. just, I have I, it. So whatever
I
you
just,
need.
I just want to have them too while I open them up. I'm guessing then is the third overall pick priced similarly?
I'll tell you right now. The third pick, May is -300 now to go third overall. Daniels is -450 to go second.
I know I'm lagging on the video stream, and I apologize for 5 seconds while I open this up. Those two markets need to start moving in tandem as Daniels' price gets out more to be second. And as we get more confident that he's going to be second, then those two markets need to be the same, because they are the same. Like, if you knew 1 and 2, then 1, 2, 3 exacta and third overall pick are the same bet. And this happens sometimes with, like, multi-ways and all different stuff. Like, you're actually betting the same thing at that point. Not surprised they're the same. So next question is, do we think -300 is right? Do we think it needs to be more? Do we actually think that's too much because of the possibility of a trade in for three for somebody for McCarthy? And we can get to kind of three and what you think might happen there too. Like, what's your, like, 300's fine based on what we've had? And I know, like, I understand we're not early on this. Like, it already moved. We're just assessing it. Seems fine to me. Like, I get cold feet Tuesday on what I always call bridge jumping something, which is like betting an uncomfortable amount of money thinking it's like a free win on an information-driven market. NFL draft Tuesday afternoon, I just really don't like doing that unless
And we don't right now. We don't even have it with Jaden Daniels.
We got nothing. Yeah, we have nothing. We think we're closer on Jaden Daniels than we were before. But that doesn't even get us past 450, though, in the second overall pick. That just gets us to -450 instead of, like, let's bet J.J. McCarthy or something like that. Like, it just gets us off that stuff. It gets us from bet crazy stuff to no bet. I don't think it gets us to betting Daniels. And then it's like, then what? And do you want to do your stuff on the third overall pick? I know you alluded to it with John a little bit in your question. Do you want to do that here?
Yes. But I do also, and Nick and Ken hear you better. You better talk in the NFL draft. I think, you know, you asked me about May, right? We'll do the Giants in a second, but what I think like might happen with the third overall pick, which would be the Giants trading up from 6 to 3 potentially. But as it concerns the Patriots on the clock at number 3, so like the Commanders right now, for the first time in a really long time, and maybe this will prove to not be the case, but for the moment, they appear to be like a pretty stable organization, right? Peters is the GM, new ownership, and Josh Harris, like Dan Quinn is the head coach. And it feels like we don't have like the goods yet, to borrow the expression that Ken just used. It feels like Jaden Daniels is going to go second overall. And I think like we feel pretty good about that. All the guests that we have come on the show say that, right? We had the report come out yesterday, and this has been whispered, and I think it's actually something that makes sense. It's not something that you hear like the Penix thing with Diana Russini, where you're like, well, okay, this is obviously BS. I would report it if I were her. I'm not criticizing her. Just that, like, what is that, basically? Like, what do I do with this? Who cares? There were reports yesterday that Jonathan Kraft, Robert Kraft's son, is, like, pretty involved in the decision-making process for the Patriots. That Elliot Wolf, Ron's son, he actually is like, the point man, but Jonathan Kraft is involved. And if like someone's like there are too many like chefs in the kitchen, doesn't it mean that something wacky could happen? Like that to me just like introduces like a little bit like a variable into the equation that we're unaware of right now. So like, do I think it's most likely based on what the guests we have come on the show say, like my own opinion that Drake May will go ahead of J.J. McCarthy? Yeah, like I think it's probably more likely, but I don't want to discount. I feel much more confident that Daniels goes 2 than Drake May goes 3 right now, at least.
And they're starting to be priced the same, to be fair.
Yeah, and it could happen. And I think like May should have like a shorter price to go 3rd than McCarthy. I do think that. I'm not willing to say right now that I think Drake May's definitely going 3rd overall if the Patriots stay on the clock. I'm not willing to say that yet.
Okay. I think that's a totally fair thing to say. It's also Tuesday afternoon. Like it just, again, it's just, it's like, well, what do you mean? We're like 48 hours from the draft. I've done this enough. It's not even that I've done it that many times. We've done the show enough. I remember what Tuesday afternoon is like, and you actually don't know a lot. You actually know like nothing still.
Like
you actually
we think know we know little. Two things. We know one, right. We think we might know two. That's it.
And it's
that's
one and
literally
two.
It.
Right. It's not even like we're skipping ahead in the book. Like we know one, and now two's like, okay, all right, like this makes more sense than it did yesterday. And that's all that there is right now. So yeah, just you asked me like, what did we learn from the guests? I mean, some really interesting stuff, even if it's not like the sick betting angle of the year. But just I feel like yesterday I'm looking at Daniels, and I think a lot of people were like the Daniels May stuff. That was like 96 hours ago that whole market went nuts. It wasn't like it was a month ago. That was like in the last week. That whole thing went crazy, and now it's settled back with Daniels being a big favorite. Whale came on and told you about the huge bet that was made at an offshore that moved that market. Okay, like, that bet makes a lot more sense now that we've had even more context provided by guests. And sometimes that's valuable, too. Like, don't go crazy thinking it's going to get crazy at 2. That's why I feel like that's the only thing that I've learned today, is just like, yeah, it's gonna be crazy in some way, and now I feel like we can cross 2 off the list for like how that happens.
I agree. I do agree with that. I guess crazy things.
But that's
happen,
it.
Though. But I
yeah, that's
but
not
I do
a lot.
Agree.
Yeah, right.
The thing that I alluded to that we've been teasing a little bit and then kind of like gave it away a little bit a few minutes ago, which is totally fine because I'm gonna talk about it now. So I got told by somebody yesterday who I was pretty plugged in with the Giants. Worth noting that this person has been wrong before. It's not a criticism of the person. The Giants, like front office, the new front office has done a really good job at smoke screening basically everybody. Like I thought, and others, like Peter Schrager also had this on draft day, made me feel really good about this 2 years ago on draft day, that the Giants were going to take Charles Cross, offensive tackle. They ended up taking Evan Neal. Charles Cross goes to the Seattle Seahawks. So just want to offer that caveat that just because I'm going to say this does not mean that it's true. I just found it interesting. I was told that 60-40, 60 that the Giants want to trade up to 3 and will trade up or have an aggressive offer to trade up with the Patriots to select Drake May. I ran this by someone unrelated to the first person, but this person is also very plugged in league circles, and the person told me that he is hearing the same thing. So, look, the Giants could trade back. Like, many different right. things could happen. But I found that, and I kind of pressed a little bit, because my whole thing has been, Ken, and we did this when the Giants signed Drew Lock. To me, the Giants signing of Drew Lock meant they weren't taking a quarterback, because you have Jones is locked in this year, Drew Lock is going to be the number 2, and you have DeVito as the 3. In this scenario, and I guess it makes sense, I don't know why you would let DeVito go, because he's like a third-string quarterback that can, like, win a game. That's pretty valuable in the NFL, sure. In my opinion, at least.
For no money, right.
That DeVito would be the odd man out here, and that it would be rookie, in this case Drake May, Drew Lock, and Daniel Jones. And maybe the rookie would just play and Jones would not play to avoid like an injury trigger for next year. So I'm not saying like bet Giants, Drake May, exact stuff. I will say that I'm monitoring this now for the next like 24 hours ago and trying to talk to some more people about it. So that's kind of what I've got on the Giants for right now.
It's really interesting. This is always what I say, like, even if you're not betting this stuff, how can you not be totally fascinated by these thought processes and, like, what happens here and what might happen? It's just so interesting. I don't even have a bet yet. It's so interesting. What is there an MGM market for, like, team connected to player with May? Like, did they have that? Like, who drafts Drake May? Where you would bet? Because Drake May 3rd, because here's what we get into with this stuff. Whether it's New England or
no.
A team trades with New England, May is still 3rd. So, like, he's a big favorite to go there. Like, you win your bet no matter who makes that pick, as long as Drake May goes 3rd. So that's not impacted. It's more just, like, who is the Giants' first pick position of the Giants first, but like these are like ancillary, like these are related, but not the one-to-one tie that you're kind of talking about.
What's, dude, off the top of your head, we'll find it during the break, if not, what J.J. McCarthy's over-under draft position is?
I don't, but I can look it up very easily during the break.
Yeah, like, it's going to be really funny when McCarthy goes, like, 28th overall on Thursday night. More NFL draft coming up next year with Nick and Ken.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. On the BetQL. Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
Final segment for us today on Stadium. So if you're watching us on Stadium, head on over to Twitch, twitch.tv/BetQL for the final hour, the power hour of the show, where, among other things, we'll give you all our bets for tonight. We're very excited to do that. We'll also talk the Conn Smythe market, which is given to the most valuable player of the NHL postseason. Unfortunately, the NBA is so good, and then like the NFL draft is also so good. I'm excited to do a little bit more NHL postseason next hour on the show, because we also love the NHL playoffs. But look, being candid with everybody, it's NFL draft week. People really love it. We really love it. It's like a puzzle we're trying to piece together about 48 hours out. So we went to break in the last segment. I was asking Ken, J.J. McCarthy's price, his over-under position. And I think we've arrived at 5.5, right, is the number at BetMGM, juiced a little bit towards the under. So I guess my question is this. If Caleb Williams is going first, and like I think we, like that's the one thing that we feel really good about. Caleb Williams goes one, and then we feel pretty good, but not certain that Jaden Daniels goes two. And then we've provided a couple different scenarios now where Drake May is pretty likely, we think, to be the third pick. Not definitely, but likely to be the third pick. J.J. McCarthy just going to slip then and like not go in the top five? Because it feels like that's like the most likely outcome right now.
But what it does, that I think what happens is, and this is the most fun part. Once you start getting a little more confident, like 1, 2, 3, 4, like you start to just not 100%, but you increase your confidence level. You start to play a game of musical chairs, basically, where you go, well, then someone's just not going. Like, well, that's what's, because the way the draft positions tend to work is they don't like add up to the right number. Like it's just, you could like someone doesn't have a chair when the music stops, and you just don't know who that's going to be. And it's like basically one of, it seems like Neighbors, Harrison, or McCarthy would be like your most likely, like they don't have a chair somehow when we get there. Like who is most likely to not have a chair in this situation? And some of it's going to be fluid. Like teams are trying to trade. So it's not like it's set. A team is trying to trade up. Sometimes in some universes, they will be successful and they will take that player. And in some, they will be rebuffed and they will not take that player. So it's not like there's a teacher's edition and we just have to go find it and learn what the answer is. Like teams are trying to move into to do something different than they're doing right now. And they haven't done that yet. So it's like, it's all very much in motion. But yeah, I get that sense where if you play out the 1, 2, 3 quarterbacks, then what happens? McCarthy slipping seems more likely because now your bets on McCarthy, like they just, your number of trade partners goes down. There's just so much smoke about Arizona and a wide receiver. And can they ever trade and feel like they get it? This is what John Daigle brought up in the last hour, which I thought was interesting. Sure, Arizona could trade, but if they really covet the wide receivers, especially one of these top three or even top two with Neighbors and Harrison, then it requires another trade to get back to a spot where they can take one of them. That's pretty unlikely. Trying to maneuver that effectively. So
not
okay,
crazy like, though. Not crazy.
No,
that could
not
happen.
Impossible. But like when if you're betting McCarthy's under, like you're banking on that. Like you need that to happen because it's how somebody gets to four to take J.J. McCarthy. And then you're like, all right, are the Chargers going to trade? And so then like if you think Arizona takes a receiver, and for this exercise it doesn't matter which one, then like, or maybe it does, because like if Harrison's there at five, then yeah, maybe the Chargers do trade to somebody who wants to take Marvin Harrison Jr. at number
maybe
five,
it's the
and
Jets.
Not J.J. McCarthy.
Maybe yeah. It's the Bills.
Yeah. Don't even whisper that into existence after the prices that I have on this happening. Like, I just, we did this on the show like a long time ago. And I just said, look, like, there's just, you get notes from people sometimes. And I had a note from somebody that wasn't like the Bills are taking Marvin Harrison Jr., just like somebody who's been right about a couple things with Buffalo and was just like, hey, like they're trying to be uber aggressive and moving up to take a receiver, and they really like Marvin Harrison Jr. Now, really like and able to get are two totally different things, but like play it out a little bit now. Like McCarthy's sliding, it's the fifth pick. Okay, now that's like a little more, like we're just getting closer, you know, to like this actually being a reality. It's all just really interesting. What if, let me ask you a question, and you're not going to know the answer, but just this is another fun hypothetical. Giants trade to 3 to take Drake May, which is what we talked about in the last segment, and the Patriots then move down to 6 and gain some draft capital as a result of doing that. Would they trade down again?
Possible.
Bills can go to 6 and get Harrison?
But like no, but the Patriots aren't doing that with the Bills in their own division.
They're definitely not trading with the Bills. They're definitely not doing that.
No.
Really? Is that 100% every team you just never trade with the division?
I don't know. So like the Lions and Vikings and Bears. Oh my, have done like a couple trades together recently. But like this is so again, it's the owner's involved. The owner's son is involved.
Right. I mean, do we think like that's good or bad? Maybe the owner's son is like forward thinking and it's like, well, we're rebuilding anyway. Who cares if they get Marvin Harrison?
My guess is the owner's son is probably like, if this goes poorly without Belichick, everyone's going to think we're idiots. I'm not handing Marvin Harrison to our division rival and have him kill us for 10 years. That's my guess.
Sure. Right? Well, I figured I'd bring it up. I mean, the Patriots could trade down again anyway. It just wouldn't be with the Bills then. It would be with somebody else who would want to come up and get McCarthy or Harrison or somebody else. Yeah, I mean, the J.J. McCarthy slide scenario gets easier to think about the more confident you get in Daniels going 2 and May going 3, because those were two of the spots where McCarthy could have gone, obviously. And then you need the trade at 4, and you have to have the trade at 4 and 5 for the under to hit, of course. And like when the number of spots is narrowing and you like need a trade in a specific spot to win your bet, and it's like even money each way, that's a tough place to be. I mean, it seems it's less likely it's going to happen than it is because that trade hasn't happened yet, and it requires a lot to do that. So yeah, it starts to get pretty interesting. And then the receivers also get really interesting. Who do the Cardinals really want? A lot of speculation about who that is. Harrison's a big favorite, but Neighbors has always been floated as like a guy that they maybe are interested in, or that teams are interested in instead of Harrison. So yeah, I'm with you on it. It just goes back to like, so what are we bet? So I'll tell you in the break, I was like talking to somebody like, how do we want to bet some of this stuff? And an interesting way to do it. So let's say Daniels is getting bet out to 2 a lot, holding at -450, but like he's a big favorite to go second. Now Drake May is a really big favorite to go third. This is a pretty recent development. Okay, like play out the 1, 2, 3, 4 exacta, but get crazy at 4. Like, and crazy could look like a bunch of different stuff. Crazy could look like Neighbors. Crazy could look like Roma Dunze. Crazy could look like, I mean, it's like crazy could look like a tackle. Crazy could look like a, you know, it could look like anything. Is that how you make it fun? Spicy was the word you used in the break, which I thought was really interesting, where it just, okay, here's a way to play 1, 2, 3, where then the fourth pick, if it gets crazy, like you've got those covered at big prices and you let the chips well fall where they may and see what Arizona does.
I think it's really smart.
So it just, again, like sometimes it's just the fun way to play this stuff. Like I wish I could be here being like, look, we got it, guys. No one knows and we got it. And maybe we'll get there on Thursday afternoon with something interesting. That's just not what it is right now. That's okay. I don't know if like there's anything else like that the guests gave us or that we furthered from yesterday's conversation that we want to do on the air right now. Did anything else stand out from any of those?
Well, I would say not really from the guests. Well, maybe something Herm Edwards said, which I want to go back to the J.J. McCarthy part of this for a second.
Yeah, sure.
So, all right. Patriots are on the clock at 3. All the reports are that they are interested in getting the right offer to trade back. My sense is that with Belichick out of the building, that there's probably some of discord is the right word to use. But it does feel like there's probably like a couple different chefs in the kitchen, right? So like my guess is that that's probably true, that the Patriots are open for business for the right haul. At 3rd overall, Jerod Mayo is kind of alluded to, like Trey, like needing to restockpile the roster, like the cupboard's kind of bare for the New England Patriots. So the two teams that I think are most thought about to trade up recently for this pick are obviously the Minnesota Vikings with 11 and 23, and the Giants, based off like what I was told yesterday. And like, and some people, to be fair, have been saying this throughout the entire process, that the Giants are interested in a quarterback. So Minnesota doesn't have second and third round picks this year by virtue of various trades that they made for Hockenson and then like another trade that the Vikings made, but they do have two first rounders and presumably would trade future first round picks as well. The Giants do have a second round pick this year, but like not the good one that they traded to Carolina for Brian Burns. So they would have to like really load up like one, two, maybe two other twos.
The Giants.
So I think the Giants.
I think you said Vikings even on the second one. Sorry, he's a Giants.
Giants. Excuse me. Yeah. Giants. Correct. Thank you. I guess where I'm going here is that I think that the Patriots may get what they're looking for. Like they may get a massive offer from either the Giants or the Vikings to trade up, and maybe New England trades back. So like let's just say like that's the case. New England wants to potentially trade back. Let's talk about other teams that might be interested in trading up for a quarterback. Vegas is a team that we've talked about a lot, right? The report earlier today, I think it was from Tom Pelissero or Mike Garofalo, one of the NFL media insiders, was that the Raiders wanted to trade up to two with the Commanders, presumably for Jaden Daniels. We had Herman Edwards come on the show last hour and literally say Antonio Pierce was on his coaching staff at Arizona State. They want Jaden Daniels. I take that to mean if they're not getting Jaden Daniels, then like they're probably not trading up for somebody else. I don't know that, but I think we can kind of assume that that's just for right now for this exercise that that's true. Do the Denver Broncos have either like the capital or like the want after trading for Zach Wilson to go trade up and like trade the farm to get a quarterback? I think that's a little unlikely right now for that to be the case. Sure. So now if we run into a case where let's say Minnesota outbids the Giants. The Vikings have more to offer with two first-rounders this year. Minnesota trades up to three. Their top three picks. Caleb, one, Chicago. Daniels, two, Washington. Minnesota, three, Drake May. Now Arizona's on the clock, and the only other quarterback remaining is J.J. McCarthy. Are any of these teams that we're talking about, Raiders, Broncos, and if you're the Giants and like you like J.J. McCarthy, can you just sit and wait for him? Who's trading up to get J.J. McCarthy under the scenario now?
Right. If the Vikings win the bidding war for number three, this is your point, right? Is the answer the Patriots take him at six? Or they would take him, later on, they take him at 11, right? That's when they would take
him? The answer would be Minnesota would trade up to take him if they're desperate for a quarterback. But if I think Minnesota is more likely, has more ammo to make the trade, and is probably more motivated to make the trade. And if that's the case...
So the Patriots go down to 11, right? That's what would happen in that situation?
Or maybe like trade back up for like Harrison or something, but like, or stay put at 11 and maybe the Giants. The point of this is McCarthy going after the fifth pick?
More likely than not, seems like the answer right now.
We'll talk more about this next hour, the Power Hour on the show. Head on over to Twitch, twitch.tv/BetQL. We'll also talk Conn Smythe and give you all our bets for tonight.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.